Hello. Here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, June 6th. Natural gas drilling activity has increased dramatically compared to last year in Colorado, and energy companies are looking to fill work crews as more fracking is yet to come. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reported that 9 oil and gas rigs are working in the region, compared to 3 during much of last year. Local energy companies are noting a developing shortage of hydraulic fracturing crews in the state. 121 wells so far this year have been drilled in Garfield County, compared to 147 all of last year. Mesa County has seen drilling start on 32 wells, compared to 4 last year. Weld County, which saw a house explosion due to a leaky gas line kill 2 residents outside of Firestone last month, leads the state with 550 well starts in 2017. Costs for drilling and fracking have been reduced recently. Local companies have become more efficient with standardized technology and are able to drill wells faster, and many companies reduced crews because of slower times in the market. But with more wells slated to start drilling this year, employment numbers are expected to go up, and there is optimism that the energy sector is about to start hiring more people. In other news from the energy industry, most oil and gas operators are complying with a statewide order from Governor John Hickenlooper to inspect all of their lines located near occupied buildings. The Denver Post reported that Hickenlooper issued the order in response to the Firestone explosion. Inspectors traced the cause of the blast to a severed flow line that was still attached to a nearby well owned by Anadarko Petroleum. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission received 129 reports from operators, more than expected. Operators had until May 30th to inspect all flow lines, regardless of location, to ensure that they complied with state rules on abandoned lines. The commission has processed 80 of the 129 reports, and those covered flow lines associated with 16,514 wells. The remaining reports left to process are from small operators. State inspectors will have to visit each site to confirm compliance with state rules and regulations. The second part of the governor's order, with a June 30th deadline, requires operators to pressure test all active flow lines within 1,000 feet of a building to ensure they aren't leaking or are damaged. One of the biggest outdoor trade shows is looking for a new home, and Colorado is hoping to be selected. The Outdoor Industry Association left Utah after 2 decades because of political differences between the Republican governor and influential outdoor brands like Patagonia. As Benta Berkland reports, a fight over public lands is bringing outdoor companies together like never before.
To understand how we got here, we first have to go back to the final days of the Obama administration and the decision to designate more than 1 million acres of land in southeastern Utah as a national monument.
I call on President Trump to follow through with his promise to reverse midnight Maui executive orders. This declaration...
That's San Juan County Commissioner Phil Lyman leading a protest in late December in Monticello, Utah, near the Bears Ears National Monument. This is where the trade show dust-up comes into play. Lyman and others, including Utah state lawmakers, members of Congress, and the governor, don't want the monument. They say it's a federal overreach and travesty of justice. And they may get their wish. The Trump administration is currently reviewing all national monuments issued within the last 2 decades.
This is a really important moment for public lands.
Hans Kohl is director of environmental campaigns and advocacy for Patagonia. The clothing and outdoor gear company backs the Obama decision and has been running TV ads in a campaign called This Is Bears Ears.
For more than a century, we've fought to protect these canyons, forests, and mountains.
This is a living museum.
It's one of the most unique climbing areas.
Patagonia was also the first company to boycott the annual Outdoor Industry Association conference in Utah.
When you arrive in the airport there in Salt Lake City, you know, there's these amazing pictures of all these protected public lands on the walls. There's a real pride throughout the state of Utah in public lands. And this isn't okay that politicians are taking a stance and asking the new President Trump to rescind the monument?
I think it was initially surprising the strength that members felt.
Amy Roberts is the executive director of the Outdoor Industry Association. While many companies have long advocated for public lands, in recent months, she says the tenor and urgency has changed.
I think the fact that we started to see momentum around transferring federal public lands to the states where they would possibly be sold off and not accessible to Americans anymore, people really felt like this was an affront to what America feels about our public lands.
Most companies quickly coalesced around leaving, and states like Colorado were more than happy to compete to win the $45 million bid. Democratic State Senator Carrie Donovan of Vail even touted a bill she had sponsored to create a first-of-its-kind public lands day that was held in May.
Very prominent and big political actions happening in the western states where the public lands are backyards, and I think that's very exciting to watch because it seems like the public lands voice is getting stronger and stronger.
Congress passed a law last year requiring the federal government to tally the industry's economic impact. Outdoor representatives hope that will elevate their clout. Kim Miller is the North American CEO of Scarpa, which makes boots for rock climbing and backcountry skiing.
It's a big number. When you start talking about $650 billion, and that's only going to grow. So we have to figure out who we are politically.
Miller says the outdoor conference is one way to do that. He says it's about much more than retailers featuring the latest gear. It's also where high-level policy discussions take place. And he says not everyone was behind pulling the conference out of Utah.
There are people that won't like that decision. Maybe it's because it's financially not as good for them. Or maybe they don't believe that those are the kind of issues that a trade show should pick its location based on.
So how does Colorado distinguish itself? And what would it mean to select Colorado for the industry and the movement it has accelerated?
One of the things we're going to have to focus on is how a blended economy really works.
Luis Benitez heads Colorado's Office of Outdoor Recreation Industry. He helped put the bid together to try to bring the conference here.
If the outdoor industry is becoming a little bit more politically active and a little bit more politically vocal, I think it's our responsibility to show up in a partnering kind of way and not in an exclusive our way or the highway kind of way.
A decision on the Bears Ears National Monument is expected to come soon. The Trump administration could rescind the designation or scale it back. As for Utah and Colorado, the loss and potential gain of an outdoor industry trade show is seen by those involved as a battle over public land ownership just as much as it's about bragging rights or money. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.